What up, witches, and welcome to Witching and Bitching the podcast. I'm your host, Darren.
And I'm Vicky. How are you all today? I hope you're having a wonderful day. I'm never going to stop saying it.
No, and okay, the verdict is out, guys. Like, we posted a video recently with Colin Bedell, our astrologer, and on that I gave Vicky shit for saying how are you and expecting people to respond, but the verdict's out. According to YouTube, we've had not one but two people comment saying,
yes,
Vicky, I always reply to you, so please don't stop saying it. So
see, I told you.
But I will not stop giving you shit.
That's a given.
Yes, of course it is. So, guys, you're in for a real special treat today. So we have Laura Temperance Zakharov. She's a professional artist, author, dancer, designer, and modern traditional witch based in New England. I don't know why, but I always want to say New England. She holds a BFA. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. That's a Bachelor of Fine Arts. Yep, from the Rhode Island School of Design. And her artwork has received awards and honors worldwide. Her work embodies myth and the esoteric through her drawings and paintings, jewelry, talismans, and other designs. Laura is the author of the best-selling Llewellyn books, Weave the Liminal and Sigil Witchery, which we have right here, as well as Anatomy of a Witch, The Liminal Spirit's Oracle, as the both the artist and author, sorry, bleh. It's too early in the morning for my voice. The Witch's Cauldron and the co-author of The Witch's Altar with Jason Mankey. So Laura edited the new Aradia, a witch's handbook to magical resistance by Revelor Press, and she blogs for Pathios as a modern traditional witch, Witches and Pagans as fine art witchery, and contributes to the Witches Almanac Limited. She is the creative force behind several community events and teaches workshops worldwide. So if you want to visit her, you can go to her website, which is www.lauratemperzakharov.com, and we will post that in the comments as well. So please give a nice big warm welcome to Laura Temperance Zakharov.
Hello. How are you? Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. I do. It is so up here in Northern Hemisphere, we are, you know, galloping our way into winter. So
we have
an impending snowstorm in the next 24 to 48 hours, I think. So it's like,
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
Sorry, if there's any consolation, we literally just had a day, both where Vicky is from and where I'm from. Yesterday it was like 98 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
And overnight, it was about 9:30 last night when I was leaving the gym, it was actually still 95 degrees. So for those in Australia, because I know that our main listeners are here, we're talking like 38 last night, yesterday, and about 35 when I left the gym. So So we'll send some of that heat your way. Just like kind
we'll
of.
We'll do an exchange. We'll get like, both of us will end up with about like 65, 70 degrees.
Yeah, get somewhere in the middle.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, just balance it all out.
Although, see, I would like the snow because I've never seen it.
Either have I.
I've never seen real snow.
Although,
put it in an envelope.
Yeah, just send some over for us.
Although I'm sure that
we are supposed to get at least a foot.
Wow.
So that's we'll see. Lot. I mean, they say this and watch will be like this. But just get at least that's
about this,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
About this, at least this, but possibly 2 feet.
Oh wow.
So, oh wow.
Yeah.
So some places might get up to a meter.
I love it.
So I wanted to come to one of the questions we often ask at the beginning, because we really like to have everybody's different opinion. We want to kind of bring, that's the whole point of our podcast, is that we want to see that there's not one way to be a witch. And so with that, I was just wondering, what would be your definition of a witch, or your opinion on what it means to be a witch?
All right.
I know it's a huge question.
So we're going to be here for 6 hours.
Yes, that's it. Yes.
You know, it's like you ask two witches, what is a witch? And you're going to get six different answers.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. That's what we love. That's what we want, is that you do get those different answers and that there isn't just one definition, one way to be. So whatever it is to you in particular.
So I look at it as being able to connect with the other, and the other is aspects of ourselves. It is the spirits. It is the world around us, the divine, the seen and the unseen, and to be able to weave those liminal threads that connect all of us together. And as a modern witch, it's being able to tap into that folklore, the traditions, the myths from where you're from, where you're living as well, because that is equally important, not just your ancestry or family traditions or, you know, formal traditions you might have learned, but where you live affects your practice. And so to be able to combine that with modern day practices and be like, all right, what is applicable for now? How can you, I like to say, MacGyver it?
Yeah, that's it.
To get it done and to realize that tradition is being made every moment. Like we have things that we call traditional that, you know, was just founded 10, 20, 30 years ago. And there are things that we're doing now during the pandemic that are going to influence our practices as well. And maybe 50 years down the line, like, this is how we do it. But it started in 2020 because of what we're experiencing. So that fluidity, to be able to pull upon the roots, but also to be able to create in the moment and make a new practice if you need to.
I think that's beautiful, because I think that's something we don't often think of as well. Like, you think of traditions, you just think of everything that's old. You don't think about that we might actually be creating traditions now as well. So that's
one. It has to start somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, see, I was actually going to ask you, because I know that you do identify as a modern traditional witch. I feel like you've just kind of answered the question for us. So
sorry.
It's good. So like an extension of that though, like what are the different, like, because all of us with our origin story, a lot of us anyway, have gone through and we like dabble in various different paths, traditions, things like that, until we find our own path or what we resonate with the most. So what, I guess, what if we were to pull it apart, what would your origin story be, or what has influenced your practice now? Over the years.
I feel like I should have a shorter elevator pitch for this. Which origin story? And then, you know, three sentences, like, should fit in a tweet, right? So I come from a long line of people who like to sleep with other people from different cultures. So
I love that.
My brain just caught up to what you said.
Sorry, might want to be careful about when you're consuming your beverage.
Yeah, that's right.
So back in the 90s, when I was a witchlet, as a teen moving off into the world, that time was so much like everything was fill in the blank witchcraft, right? Or Wicca. It was like Italian this and Celtic, blah, blah, Irish, whatever. Just, it's all basically was Wicca with seasoning on top.
Yep, that's pretty much
Italian
it.
Seasoning. This whatever that is. And I was like, what am I supposed to pick, because I have so many different things. And I thought, okay, what if I go by what is inspiring to me and diving deep into these various different cultures, but also where I'm living. So it just was that immediate effect of, all right, I don't think any one of these books is going to tell me what I need to know, because it seems very ceremonial magic with some flavoring. Mm-hmm. And so what I kind of did was bypass most of the popular books of the 90s and the early O's, and went to Margot Adler's Drawing Down the Moon.
Yeah.
And like, oh, there are other people practicing this, and like, that sounds cool, that sounds crazy. Let me find out who these folks
are.
Where
it is in between.
Yeah, like, that's neat, cool, great. And when I went to RISD, the Rhode Island School of Design, Rhode Island, actually, for a tiny state, has a lot of witches.
Oh, really?
There's a ton. It was founded by like pirates and heretics. So I guess it makes sense. It's a corrupt thing.
Why not? Yeah.
Great. Like, you read into the history of it. It's like somebody got kicked out of the, actually it was Roger Williams, got kicked out of the Puritanical colonies in Massachusetts. And they're like, well, we could kill you, or you could just move to Rhode Island. Because we still like you enough that we don't want to kill you. We'll just send you down there.
Just move you over. Yeah.
So like, I guess that is with what's in the land here is this crazy mix of things. And so I was kind of checking out many different traditions, but it was a lot of more, you know, different brands of Wicca, Alexandrian and Gardnerian and some other family traditions. But I was still kind of feeling like, I don't think any of these are a good fit. So I founded an Open Path Pagan Society at the school, which started like at RISD, and then we opened it up to Brown University. And then we're like, everybody who's college age and everybody who's just pagan. So it's like,
I love it. It's good evolution.
yeah, and then like suddenly I'm, you know, let's say a high priestess, but I'm like, I'm the one in charge. So I'm the one kind of crafting the ritual and pulling people together and doing all the studying and stuff. So that was my kind of basically threw myself into the cauldron because I wanted to be able to have something that I could practice and feel good at and like meet other witches and pagans who kind of maybe thought the same way. So that's, it's always a good way to start. Just, you know, jump.
Yeah, jump right in.
You have literally just, you've just reaffirmed my, like, I've always had this belief system that I grew up in the wrong continent. Like for me growing up in Australia, like I love being Australian, don't get me wrong. But like all of the quintessential college things that I wanted to do, like I was the guy who grew up watching too much Bring It On and I wanted to be a cheerleader. And I wanted to be in, now I'll say sorority because like I know it's technically a frat house for boys, but like I wanted to be in a sorority because it looked like a hell of a lot of fun. And then like just all that kind of stuff, like where you get to like have these pagan alliances across the college campuses, like we don't have that kind of stuff here. No. It's just not enough of us. I mean, our country's the same size in landmass, but all of our people are down a tiny little strip on one side and a little dot on the other side. Oh, wait, and also the dot where you're from as well. Sorry,
I always. Thank you. Yeah. No. Well, I have to forget my dot.
Well, no, because your dot is like a flyover state. Like everyone flies over.
That's it to actually from east usually to west. What it says.
But I think that's why people in Adelaide, they live there because it's like, oh, we don't have to worry that.
We don't have to deal with all the rest of them.
That's it. Fire over us. It's fine. Keep our place nice and quiet.
Just keep going.
So if I could just, do you know much about your ancestry? Because you said that you come from a background of a lot of people who slept with a lot of people. Like, where is your ancestral roots then?
So... like I need to break out the flow chart.
Just the general sense.
Like. So the major is surrounding all throughout the Mediterranean, but Sicilian and part of Sicily is a lot of the heavily Arabic. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody invaded Sicily, which yeah. And it shows. and then another, this is just on my mother's side, and my grandfather's family is from central Italy, but particularly that region is a heavily Romani area. It's actually where in the 13th century, I believe, a whole bunch of Romani people emigrated in from the Balkans. So you've got that whole side. And then on my father's side, it's Russian, Latvian, Lithuanian, Jewish. And then there's these amazing little groups off of this is Hungarian, and then there's somebody from Norway in there. And, you know, of course, if you go further back, like, how did the Jews end up in Lithuania and Latvia? It's a strange story. Like, and who do they piss off to get there?
Yeah, dude. Where did they get banned from? Or
yeah. Yeah, because it's just like, how did you end up there? From there?
Yeah, right.
It's so fascinating to go through it all.
Yeah, and it's like every time I think I'm like, well, I don't think there's any of that in there. And then there's like a new like line that pops up. I'm like, oh, okay.
There we go.
Like as soon as you say this, I don't have any of that. Oh no, but I do on this part of the tree. I feel like you sound like me because like I recently did one of those DNA tests and like every time they do an update, I get like new information. I'm like, what? We have that as well? Because like every time more people test, then they kind of refine the science of it all.
Kind of
And I feel like when people ask me, so where are you from? I'm like, it's quicker if I tell you where I'm not from.
Yeah.
Like, believe it or not. That's and awesome.
It's confusing enough too that I often am asked, you know, like, where are you from? And I'm like, oh, Philadelphia. And they're like, no. Where are you from? And I'm like,
Philadelphia.
Do you know something I don't know?
I was going to say, is that?
You know, so I'm like, especially as a dancer to have like, no, you must be from Yemen. Oh, no, you look like you're Algerian. I'm like, oh, again, everybody who's from here decided to go throughout Europe and then ended up over here. So.
That's so why not?
I love it.
Is it that do you feel like that's kind of what led you, has anything from your ancestry kind of led you down this path or was it?
So with on my mother's side, a lot of my grandfather's approach to life, even though you've got Roman Catholicism, which is It's just right there. You're like, yeah. Witchcraft, yep. Catholicism. It's
yeah,
right over. So many approaches to animals and nature, plants, etc., and just being outside and connecting with things. Mm-hmm. And that has actually been so much of any kind of dream revelations, you know, when the ancestors kind of tap in, it's coming more from that side. Even though the Sicilians are all like, hold on, let's punish some saints over here. And, you know, we're going to get out the oil and the eggs and the water and the salt. We might make bread afterwards, but first we're going to see if anybody's doing the malecchio, the evil eye coming out.
Yeah.
So there's that, but I've also been really fascinated. Like when you think about Russia, Latvia, Lithuania, like the Slavic countries, they're really the last bastion of paganism in that area. Just those little pockets, they stayed there the longest before things started to kind of integrate. And you think about some of the midsummer festivities that you see and such. They're just like, we just threw a saint name on it, but really we're still referring it to the old god's name.
Yeah, right.
That's it. Just put saint in front of it and it'll be okay.
Okay, fine. That's sure. Sounds like an honorific. Great. So yeah, I love that mythology as well. So it's all of those points and you know, especially going all throughout, you know, early days when I was really young, Egypt and North Africa and the whole Fertile Crescent, you know, like for a while I could read hieroglyphics. I was that much of a nerd. Like,
oh, wow.
What?
That's awesome.
You could read hieroglyphics.
This is what I studied, you know, like how to put those things together. Like, there was that, you know, those basic looking at the mark making and what they had already discovered, you know, through the Rosetta Stone and the correlations in there. So, you know, as a very adventurous nerd.
I love that. Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah.
I love it.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's the age when you're supposed to be picking up languages, but
yeah.
I don't know if that was always top on everybody's list was hieroglyphics.
although in fairness, like during COVID, when people were like, oh, what are you going to do? Because I'm so in my state, we were actually on lockdown from March right through till November. And so I didn't leave my house for like all that time. And so like I always do this Facebook post where I've like listed all the things that I've achieved in lockdown. Cause I made it a thing. I'm like, I'm not going to come out of lockdown being, overfed, under-exercised and just, you know, and nothing, you know what I mean? So I wanted to make something of myself. And, one of the things I put on that list is I wanted to learn Arabic as random as that is. And it's like, not only did I learn Arabic, but I then ended up putting ink on myself in Arabic because I love it that much.
Of all the things.
But to bring it back to, I guess, what we're wanting to talk about is like, but this is the thing with language and with scripture and with all these symbols and hieroglyphics. Mm-hmm. That obviously brings us to our topic of conversation.
Yeah, which is sigils. Which is sigils, because there's so...
See, we went all around. I brought us back.
You did well. As we can see by the book behind as well, I wanted to touch on sigils if we could, because I know they're apart from you have the beautiful book as well, which is amazing, but a lot of your art and things like that as well has all the sigils and things through there as well. So I'm wondering, would you mind giving kind of a bit of a give our listeners a little bit of like, what is a sigil and sigil magic in a very like, I know that's another really big open-ended question.
I feel like we're only giving
you giant questions at the moment. But yeah, just a little bit about sigils and sigil making.
Sure. So the definition of a sigil is a mark that has been painted, etched, drawn, licked, whatever, basically created by a human being that is believed to have magical properties. So something that is a, you know, it can be a symbol, but a mark that is believed to have magical properties. Mm. That is the overarching definition. Now, once you get into Western occultism, things start to get a bit dodgy. Yeah. hold in there, but that's what you're looking at. So we have been creating magical marks since the dawn of civilization, And as I cover in sigil witchery in the book, as well as the workshop, for example, like we travel to Australia to look at some of the Aboriginal marks, right? And the fact of like the lack of separation between the sacred and secular, that's something that you can use, you know, for decoration, can also be used to connect with spirits of place, of deity, of an ancestor, and the ritual that's done with that. And that, you know, modern academia in the last 200 to 300 years says this sort of thing. Well, ancient art, primitive art, you know, clearly all the cave paintings, that was about, you know, hunting magic.
Yeah.
It's all about food. And like, yeah. I don't think everything's about food. Like, I know we post photos on like Instagram occasionally.
Yeah, I was gonna say, have we really changed so much? Is that so like, primitive? Like, oh, no. Oops, we did it again.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm good. For those that are listening and wondering why they're laughing, I just took a sip of my drink as they're saying this. I nearly spat it out, but that's okay. I'm good.
So like, it's such a limited way of looking at it because the art has so much more depth to it. And if you start to examine the marks that exist in these places, like what Aboriginal folks have been using for 50,000 years, what we have in the Lascaux Caves, there's more than horses and bison and animal tracks. There's strange beings, right? There's almost like I hate to use the word shamanic, but we have the general idea of like something that is transcending this world, that is combining human and animal and dream state. And so there's so much more to that. And I talk about book and in the workshops is there's a researcher by the name of Genevieve von Petzinger. And she was like, hold on a minute. Not everything is about your lunch or your dinner here. I'm pretty sure not. And so she did all this research and looked at, it was about, you know, over 170 sites that were throughout Europe and Asia, Africa, etc., and saw that there were 32 signs, there are 32 marks that repeated in all of these locations spanning 10,000 years.
Wow.
Whoa.
And you can see, you know, when we look at the things that we know, such as, you know, talk about the hashtag, right, which is the number sign, like the crosshatch, like you see that in all of these different cultures. You'll see dots in those caves, and then you'll see in Aboriginal art, the little dots, the ants, right? Like, hunting magic of ants, really think about that. It's like, no, it's the energy, it's the symbolism of what this can represent. That, you know, I love that there's been recent discoveries or connections that some modern Aboriginal art and some even older art looks exactly like cellular structure. So if you look and like they're saying it's the spirit of the plant, and then they have now done like cellular microscopic images of the same plants, and it looks the same as the art.
Wow.
It's amazing. Like, I know. It's like, it's amazing. It's like, how did they know that? Like, where does
it come from? It's magic.
Yeah, that's right. But they're saying it is. Oh yeah, that's amazing.
I almost feel like this is like, it just proves that point that like, I've made this on a couple of episodes now. It's like, I think as people, we always think that they were primitive, but we are the intelligent ones, or we are the advanced species. I can't help but feel that something happened at some point, and I feel like they were the more advanced species, and something happened that, you know, I mean, there's so many mythological stories about, like, obviously Lemuria and Atlantis, and about the Egyptians, and about, like, I mean, people talk about alien races, all that kind of stuff. So, like, there's so many different things that could have happened. Like even I think science has said that the pyramids are, like, three times as old as what we say they are. Like, you know, we are accepting that they're 5,000 years old, but realistically they're saying that the golden age happened much earlier. And so like, it doesn't surprise me though, that they're doing all these things, even though it blows my mind, but it doesn't surprise me. Like, they knew something we don't know.
they had, you know, when you don't have all the crap to get in, you know, in front of your head and the thinking, it's like, you're looking at art, you know, especially the African art that supposedly influenced Picasso, where they're like, look at this primitive art. Like, in order to abstract the body, you know, like, you can try to make a realistic image of a human being, but to abstract it takes great thought. They're like, people are like, oh, they weren't that skilled. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure they're really skilled. They're like, what's the excitement of creating something I can see in this world when I can tap into what is more spiritual or accented, or, you know, to make the head longer, to make the eyes bigger, to change the colors of the skin, to make it look like an animal. Like, that takes creativity and thought and deeper connection and artistic merit than to be like, yeah, we're going to make something hyper realistic. Like, that's technique, but it's not vision.
Yeah.
It doesn't tap into that.
I think that extra thing. There's a particular picture that I love. We're talking about this exact thing. So there's, hang on, let me see if I can quickly find it. I know it's somewhere at the back. Here we go. It's the Mother Matrix.
Yes, that's
the one that you've done. So I'm holding it up for those watching on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube, you can always duck over and have a look. Is that in focus? Because I can't see it.
Yes. Yeah, okay, that's in focus.
So I love the way that you've done this, because it's literally this way of bringing like sigils and symbols and everything together to make a human form. And it's just like so captivating. Like, I've looked at this page alone, like, for hours. Like, sometimes I just leave it on the coffee table open on that page, so then when I'm sipping my coffee, I just look, and I'm always noticing little things that I didn't notice last time. And it's just like, I mean, I wish I could think like that, but like to be able to come up with something like that. But it's just, it's like, that to me is art. Like, when you can abstract something but using abstract things, make something that, like, because to me this looks real. It looks very realist when you look at the one that's obviously shaded in and stuff. But yeah, I just think it's amazing. It's so cool. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to like hijack.
I love that everybody sees something different in the Mother Matrix. You know, something that was very much a trance experience for me, both the drawing and the painting. And when I first started sharing photos of it, people like were losing their shit. Like, oh, cool. I mean, that was neat, but I had no idea. And like, over the years since I've created it, to, you know, what people see in, you know, hermetic structure and different mythologies from around the world, they're like, it's this, it's that. I'm like, yes, yes.
So when you are doing back, I guess, grabbing onto that a little bit, when we were talking about like the primitive art as well, I think the thing is that connection, and when you're doing something abstract, so is it kind of a bit of a process when you are doing your art and those kind of things? Like, is it a little bit of like a trance state that you're getting into, that's that connection, I guess, with
absolutely. I liken it to, you know, when folks talk about in witchcraft, it's like within traditional witchcraft, like everyone's like, I'm riding the hedge, I'm doing this, I'm taking, I'm eating these herbs, I'm smoking this shit in order to trance. Like, you know, you could make, those things are great, but you don't have to do that. You can get the same effect making art and enter a trance state. You can do the same thing writing. You can do it through dance. You can play music that way. Different meditative states. And, you know, having been pretty much trained in art since the wee days, parents sent me off to art school at 3. That was the beginning. So I'm like, this is, you know, part of the thing. So like, when I sit down, I'm already, my brain is synced into going, okay, most of the time, not always. Some days it's just like, I don't want to, but but when you have a vision and you see that, and you're like, all right, you know, I don't need to make an elaborate casting a circle. You know, I don't need to do invocations or anything. I just know that when I sit down to this desk, I get my materials out, I have the vision or the idea, or maybe nothing at all, blank page. You just kick into that, and magic starts with thought. Mm-hmm. You know, so you think of all of the arts, right? All the ways that we express ourselves, it all starts here. It might move through our bodies in different ways, but if we're able to visualize in our own way, because I know not everybody has a mind's eye type of vision, right? There are folks who don't have that, but they still have other ways of seeing the world and interacting with it. Like, you tap into that, you can enter other realms, you can connect with spirits, ancestors, deities, whatever, yourself, whatever you want to call it, that connection with the other. I think that's sort of things like hours can pass, right? Let me see how many rituals that you do where you're like, oh, I think that was only 15 minutes long. You're like, shit, that was 90 minutes.
Good old timer. You got to set that timer sometimes.
Oh, look, guilty.
Sure, come back.
Especially with meditations it's just like, you go into a meditation. I'm just going to meditate for half an hour. Like, then at an hour and a half, I hear this knock at the door. And I'm like, oh, and then it brings me out of it. I'm like, oh, what's wrong? You've been in there for a long time, and you have other things you needed to do today. Oh, crap. Yeah. Like, where did I go? That's one of the things though that I've liked about this particular book and about your way of doing sigils though, is because like for those that haven't seen the book, like you have a very modern take on what is a sigil. So like the way that I learned sigils back when I was reading some of the earlier books in like the 90s and the early 2000s, it was very much a whole thing of like, you know, write down your phrase or your word, cross out all the double letters and all the vowels and the Y's, and then you have that little like grid thing and you had to like draw the little angles all over it. All like there's so many different ways to do it, but for me I never really connected with it, so I never really did sigil like witchery or sigil magic, because to me that funny little ziggy zaggy thing meant nothing. Like it, I couldn't resonate with it. Whereas this, like for someone who's a very much a right brain thinker, doing something where you're making almost like a pictograph, almost, not quite, but like it's like you're getting the elements and putting them together to make something that means something to you. So you look at it and you know what those little elements mean. Like that's like, I mean, without wanting to put it on too thick, but that to me is mind blowing. Because it's so much more personal, and it means that what is a sigil to me doesn't have to be a sigil to you, because it's like, you know what I mean? It's that personal connection.
Yeah.
And right. I think, was it you who, I think you said it in your masterclass that I watched, which was, it's almost like you have a speed dial to that deity or to that other, by creating something that's personal to them, which I just love.
Building the relationship. And that's why the process, the method that is discussed in sigil witchery, anybody can do it. Any different, you know, whatever your path ground. I make new words.
I was going to say, you've now just got a whole new term now. I love that.
at least one a day. I should really write them down.
That's right.
So your path ground. So whatever level experience, you don't need to be an artist. You know, that's why I always, there's always somebody who's panicking and be like, I can't even draw. I can't even do a straight line. I'm like,
that's me.
Yeah, you can do this.
That's me.
You know, you need to, part of it is telling whatever asshole, like when you were younger, told you that, you know, you can't draw. And so you stopped. It's a human thing. Like if you can write your signature, if you can make a squiggle on a tablet, you can do it. And what makes it more effective, I believe more effective, and that thousands of people have told me, they're like, this shit works. That's my favorite one. That's from Christopher Hughes, who PaganaCon a couple of years ago. He gets got off the plane. He's like, this shit works.
I love it.
And because you're assigning meaning, like when we do spellcraft, we do traditional sympathetic magic, and we're choosing these ingredients, right? The crystals, the oils, the herbs, whatever timing, whether it's a lunar timing, astrological timing, anything like that, you're assigning meaning, right? Mm-hmm. The hematite means this, and the rue means that, and the waning moon means this. And so it makes your right brain happy because it's fascinated. It's pulling together these elements. It's not that the power resides in any of those things. They help, right? Like being in a boat with a good wind, you know, a sailboat's going to help get you there. A motor can get you there faster, maybe. But the idea that the elements are right, you put those things together, you're going to have a deeper connection, and you've taken the time to really visualize the whole concept. So when you're going, this is what I need. I need a new apartment. I need a new job, a new lover, whatever it is that you need in your life. It's not like you write a sentence out and says, I need a new job. Me well, sure. Is that the job you want? You can get a job that pays you well, but you might hate it. And you can light a candle and get that shit for yourself, but you're not going to be happy. But if you go, all right, I need a job that pays me more, where I'm respected, that I can have academic advancement, you know, whatever it is that your job, what your dream aspect of it is, those elements that you incorporate within the sigil are going to get you much further than a phrase, or like say the Punnett square. Because that doesn't have any meaning. Like it's a neat little trance process, which will help it, especially for folks who are more left brain. It seems a bit easier for them, but I don't believe it's as effective, which I mean, you can send the hate mail too. But it works.
But if you've got that connection to it, it's going to have that deeper meaning. Yeah.
Yeah. We actually,
and you visualized it more. So
Vicky and I actually did a little exercise yesterday. We did. We decided to make our own sigil for the podcast. Excellent. So we made a witchin' and bitchin' sigil.
We did.
So maybe we'll, I'll make it look prettier because it was just literally a doodle. But I make it look prettier, maybe we'll post it on our page so you can see. But we actually, you know what? I think I even have, GIMP.
But we did, and we went through that same kind of process that you have in the book, and it was different. It was that same thing what you were talking about, that it does have so much more meaning because we were pulling out the different parts that had meaning to us.
There we go. I've just put up on screen. So if you want to see what we're talking about, you can jump onto our YouTube. So basically what we did was we took the element of the star, because that for us represented witchcraft. We put the two chevrons, because that to us was like open mouths talking at each other.
So they're like podcast, the greater than, less than sign.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like they're talking. And then infinite, because we don't shut up. no. As the infinity, because like there's so much to share. Like it's a back and forward process, because it's that ebb and flow of the conversation. The cross we put in there because, which we got most of these meanings from your book.
And from the book as well.
You know, and the cross we put as because it's the, what was it, Vicky? It was
the hidden
or the forbidden kind of, because we're talking about things that are often hidden or forbidden, being witchcraft and whatnot.
Yeah, at the crossroads. Then,
Then we haven't added these in there yet. We've done another take on this on paper. We've got, because Vicky's a Gemini and I'm a Cancerian, so we thought somehow we can put them in there. We put the eye, which for us it's like we're opening the eye to the other realm, or you know, to
making
whatever it might be
hidden and seen.
Bringing things
the
to
unseen scene.
Yep. And then the feather for us was to do with the connection knowledge. Towards like knowledge and whatnot. So then we kind of put it together, and that's what we've come up with so far.
Beautiful. And I love that it looks like this is I love the unintended things that happen when you combine things together. It's like, I'm like, it looks like a peacock feather. I love.
Yeah,
right. And we actually I kind of cheated a little. I took some inspiration from a necklace that was sitting on my bench, which actually is like a peacock feather. So I saw that, I'm like, oh, let's make the eye like that, because that combines feather and eye into one.
Let's put it all in together.
Yeah, so and that's what we've come up with so far, but
we're refining it. But it was such a great process though, because you're adding those particular elements in that you want.
Yeah, because we literally sat there and we're talking about like what does our podcast represent, like, you know, and we're trying to come up with all these things. I'm like, of course we've gone for, oh, we're making the unseen seen and the forbidden.
We'll go over the big grand
thing. Yeah, that grand, like, yes, we are the dichotomy of all things, like, you know, anyway. But no, I love
that. Big, it's fine, you know. And then the thing is, you use as part of your graphic and your branding and such, right? It tends to emphasize the message that you want to get across, and it looks cool.
It looks cool, yeah.
That's it.
We'll work on it. But that was our first pass. So like,
it was not bad.
You know, a bit of a creative process, and plus we're getting two different brains, so we have very different ways of thinking.
Very different ways of thinking.
The Gemini over here.
Gemini and a Cancer. I'm a Gemini and I have Cancer rising.
Yeah.
Ah, do you?
So yeah. Vicky being the Gemini had to teach this Cancerian how to not just go with the flow and how to actually plan things and write things down. I don't write things down. I'm like, just push record and we'll just talk some verbal diarrhea and it will be an amazing conversation. I just trust the process. It's like, no, we need the running sheet. We need questions, like,
come back.
Yeah.
I see both work really well. I appreciate
that's it. Yeah, see, that's it. You would have both sides there with both of them in your chart.
Yeah. But so not to change gears too abruptly, but we did mention it a little bit before about other ways that we can bring the magic. And so, like, you were saying how you can channel through things like dance and stuff like that. And I know let me get it right. So it's witchual workouts is the thing that I've seen on your YouTube channel, which for those that aren't aware, check it out because it's amazing. Yes. So I work in the fitness industry and I also teach belly dance classes. But like when I saw these, I was like, and I've never actually told you this to your, like, because of yourself, the first time we're talking, but I was watching one of them when I was like first like checking out what it is all about. And I kid you not, you had some way of somehow when you were moving, I could actually see energy on a camera. And now cameras don't normally pick up energy, like as in they pick up image, But yeah, like when you're moving, like I was using my other senses and I'm like, holy shit balls, I'm actually seeing the energy manipulation around you. And I'm like, I was mesmerized. So like, where did that come from, this whole ritual workouts and stuff? Because I'm like, for me, it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. Let's just combine everything I love.
One thing. That's like fitness, it's witchy, it's like, it's channeling, yeah. It's everything.
It's a mesoplate. It's a mesoplate of
that's
magic.
That's it, yes.
So I have been, I've actually been practicing witchcraft longer than dance, but they kind of piggybacked right onto each other. Because as I was working with the group, I had one of my good friends from RISD, she was a year ahead of me. She moved back to California. And she was saying, oh, you should check out this tribal belly dance thing. This is, tribal hadn't even hit the East Coast back then. I'm like, oh, women moving together and these amazing costuming and such, you know, get them. It was the 90s. So
yeah, that's it.
So I tried to find it close by and I finally found a class, and then like half of the coven went as well to the class. And then we were like, we should bring this into ritual. And so it was just that immediate of like, we learned a new thing. Let's try it. Let's bring it in. And let's get some folks to drum. So like those of you who don't want to dance, here's a drum, which is not exactly the most effective way, because a lot of, you know, this happens.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if you're going to be getting really great beats happening here.
As we have to say, bless their hearts.
Yes.
You know, yes. The enthusiasm is there. So that became a thing, but it also was really exciting for me to continue exploring dance, and particularly the trance dances such as the Zar and the Gedra and the Tarantella or Tarantula. So like studying the belly dance umbrella and then all of the folkloric dances that are all throughout the Mediterranean into North Africa, into the Arabian Peninsula, Turkish, just that kind of grew into there. And as I was becoming more prevalent as a performer, I didn't want to be the belly dancing witch. because I was like, well, I'm happy to do this with, you know, at pagan events and such, but I didn't really want to make that my thing. It was I pretty much found a gothic belly dance. And so that was like more of like the dark aspects and the storytelling of it, but it didn't have to be spiritual in a religious type of sense, right? Connected to any particular one path. But as I shifted to my current life, I realized I didn't want to deal with the drama of belly dance. There's a lot of drama in that community. Mm-hmm. Maybe because it isn't grounded in there's many, we won't go into that. That's another 10 hours of discussion. But it still was realizing like what was exciting for me in teaching and performing dance was being able to help other people move their bodies.
Yep.
So I was realizing where I was having fun in teaching dance was not dance to other dancers, heavy on the scare quotes for that, but to you teaching pagans, witches, magical practitioners, how to move their body and connect it with ritual. I'm like, and because they weren't like, how am I going to use this? How am I going to sell this? How am I going to choreograph this? Like, you know, people who are just like, oh my God, I can feel, you know, what you said, the goddess is entering me.
Yeah, you can feel the energy and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, I can feel the circle. I can do this. I can, you know, if you have people close their eyes and sort of reach out without touching each other, and they feel that their fingers are tingling and that they can start moving around each other and not bump into each other because you're sensing the energy, like that's to me the most exciting thing. So that has been a huge part of my practice. But after, so I relocated to Rhode Island again
back again
in 2019, and I decided I wasn't gonna be teaching weekly classes because I've been teaching weekly dance classes since like 2012. But I was like, I still like to teach dance to pagans and witches, and then the pandemic hit.
Yes, of course.
So, you know, not going out to teach workshops and not performing, because as my husband is a musician, we do a lot of things together, a lot of improvised ritual and music performance, but going, my butt's not moving enough. And I find, let's say, regular exercise, I don't mean to put any of that down, but I like, yoga has never really kept my attention to be like, I'm going to sit and do yoga, or I'm going to do Pilates, I'm going to like lift things. Like, I'd just be like, oh, cat, you know. I'm gonna go make a painting, that's more exciting. So yeah. I realized, I think it was maybe July or August, I'm not sure when it started, but I'm like, I'm gonna move my butt and to make myself accountable.
Yes.
I'm gonna put these up online because other people I know also need to be moving their butts, and the rest of them too.
Yes.
And so doing it on a daily basis meant I'm moving and then inspiring other people to move. And so it's anywhere from 6 to 15 minutes. It was 7 days a week.
Well done.
And I'm like, nope.
Yes.
It's a little over a month. I'm getting to the point where I need 5 days a week, and that's good because it gives me a little more breathing time to do that. And you know, there's so many different concepts to cover. So, you know, we have Tarot every week. We have Oracle. We have a lunar focus. We have a deity focus. We have whatever Tempest feels is fun to do on Fridays. And our hats to do. Today we're gonna sit. Let's work on our hands.
Right on. That's it. There's always something you could do.
Yeah. Well, that's like I had, because, well, not similarly to you in that sense, but like, because I do teach fitness classes and Zumba and all that other stuff. Like during the pandemic, I took all my stuff online because the gym shut down. And I was like, well, I still want to exercise. And I know that all my students still want to exercise. Mm. So I did like you, and I went crazy at the start, and I was teaching 2 classes a day, 7 days a week at the start. And then it turned into 3 classes a day, 5 days a week plus weekends. And then now I've refined it a little. It got to one point where it's like 16 classes a week. And I'm like, oh, no. Okay. So now I've stripped it down a little. But during that time, I actually learned another dance fitness program, which is called Yalabina. So it's actually a friend of mine. She lives in Sweden, but she's half Egyptian. And she's taken like elements of belly dance and folkloric dance from the whole Arab-speaking world, and she's created this class which fuses all of them together, so you kind of go on this journey through the Arab-speaking world and just like through dance and stuff. And I've started teaching those online, and I love it. Like, it's just that whole, like, I can see why it resonates so much, because it's like nothing makes you feel more connected to the goddess than sticking on a sparkly little sequin encrusted like hips and shaking your hips for like 10 minutes. So it's like I totally get it, because it's like that whole, especially when you're doing a drum solo, when that drum kicks in, and it's the easiest way to get into a trance state, I think, is through a hip shimmy. Like literally, it's like, for those that don't know anything about belly dance, is where you stand with your feet on the ground, nice and grounded, and you just almost like pedaling your knees, and you just allow everything to shake. It's not about, ooh, I don't want the jiggly
bits. I was going to say the jiggly bits.
It's actually the opposite. You want them to jiggle. You want them to jiggle. And like, I got to a point where at the start, I was like, oh my God, this is hurting. By the end now, I could literally stand there and do a hip shimmy for a good 10 minutes without stopping, because it's just like you literally almost get into this, like, it's like shaking yourself into trance almost. Like you just get to a point where like you don't even realize you're still doing it, and then after a while your legs just take over and it's like, oh okay. And then you start playing around with it, you do like little figure eights or like body rolls while you're doing your little shimmy. It's like, so that's why I love your little workouts, but because it's just so much fun. So people should totally check them out.
Totally get on there. I love it. Yeah. I only just discovered it. I'm really excited now, because I'm like, although, it finds everything in there. I'm like, oh gosh.
Although, Vicky, you watched them.
I did.
I want you to do them.
I will. I just needed to see first to see if it's going to be doing some tricks that I can't do.
It's good. And you know, I know quite a few folks who watch them first because they just want to see where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And then they feel more comfortable trying. Like I am a terrible student when it comes to movement classes and other people's workshops, because I'm just like, what's going to happen next? Like, I feel comfortable being able to see where it's going to go, and so that I can like get my body, you know, because that's the thing. Like, when you're learning something new, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're still like,
I know I'm doing it in my house and nobody else is actually seeing me, but I'm like, I don't want to look like a complete dick when I'm running around trying to shimmy something somewhere.
No one is seeing you.
I know.
In your house.
I know, but it's just this weird thing. I don't know, but it just is.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite.
How I am.
When I was learning the little,
I like to see first. I like to watch first, and then I like to do.
I'm the opposite. When I was learning how to do all these little hip shimmies and all these things with you, you know, I was literally the guy that while waiting for the checkout to like scan all my grocery items, I'm sitting there practicing I literally stood there and I'm doing my little hip shimmy. And then I'm like, okay. And if I go this way to a hip slide, and then I can swivel my hips forward and backward while still shimmying, and then go the other way. And then my husband was like, you look like you need to pee. Thanks. Thanks. Although then the girl in the checkout behind me, because obviously I had my back to her because I was facing the girl in front of me. So the girl in the checkout behind me was like, oh, don't mind him. Like, I'm enjoying this view. Thanks. I'll take it. Like, whatever.
I was going to say, I'll take it. I don't know.
Making somebody's day.
That's right.
That's exactly it.
So if people want to check out, like, what's the easiest way to find you on YouTube? Is it just to type in Witchul Workouts?
That's probably the easiest way to find the whole playlist of Witchul Workouts. Mm. My channel, I'm pretty sure it's under Laura Tempest Sacra. If you search me, it will show up. Yeah. And like I said, as of today, there's 101 episodes.
Wow, that's
there you go, guys. Awesome. And it's 101 episodes of between 6 and 15 minutes, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like that's hours of entertainment. So if you're bored over the Christmas holidays.
That's it.
You can get
indulged a little bit too much over the Christmas.
Yeah, I don't really heavily plan them. I tend to, like if I'm going to pull an Oracle card or Tarot card, that's what it is, right? Yeah. But it's fascinating to see that as a daily practice, that each week tends to develop a theme that, even if you don't notice it in the first 2 or 3 days, it has a larger picture. But like, I think last week was the shimmies. How do you can do that? And, and the deity of the week was Pan. So, getting your little goaty goat on and shaking your butt and, it's just, you have fun, right? Like, the other thing too, is like, you're not going to screw it up. You're not going to accidentally conjure something. And if you listen to your body, you're not going to hurt yourself. And it's for whatever your level of ability or experience is, because there are so many things too. If you can't stand for a while and you need to sit, or you're in a position where that you can do many of these things from a seated position. So it's like whatever your stamina is. Making words, and that's why like a witch.
Yeah, that's it.
Out, right? It's like me saying like, and now we're going to get to this witchcraft ritual.
When I was trying to say, I'm like. Ritual workout. I'm like,
yeah, you feel like you're saying.
I have to wrong. Really, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's really ritual.
The first week in my head.
Although, the first week, I'm like, am I say it on purpose? It's weird, but now I'm just like,
yeah. It is what it is now.
I actually think that didn't I say that on air once? Because I've been watching so much of your ritual workouts. But then when we're talking about rituals, I actually said ritual. And she's like, you just said ritual. I'm like, oh. Yep. But that's like we've thrown the word witch into everything. Like I talk about my resting witch face instead of resting bitch face, or like a witch slap instead of a bitch slap. Like
you can just add it in there wherever you like.
Because I'm sure that technically this is supposed to be 100% that bitch, but like they've changed it to witch. Like
it's
whatever. Witch,
so it's fine. It's fine. All good.
So that then brings us to what I wanted to end with is like because we're talking about the anatomy, we're talking about the body, and you have a new book and oracle deck coming out soon. So did you want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
So the book coming out from Llewellyn in the middle of 2021, almost upon us, right?
I know, it's not that far away.
The speed that this year is gone, it's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah. So Anatomy of a Witch is a map to the magical body. A magical map to the body? A map to the magical body. This is the thing that the subtitle is new. That's where the publisher comes in. So to be able to embody your magic, and I started talking about this a bit in Weave the Liminal. There's some exercises and like the consciousness of like being present in your body, to find that balance between being academic and thinking a lot and also being like, I'm just gonna experience some stuff and like, take whatever. Drugs, herbs, or whatever, right?
You play that role really well, though. That whole...
Mine was my very technical Muppet arms. And so finding it where you can use, look at your body is your most accessible, prevalent, and powerful tool. That's it. Like the wands, the cauldrons, the athames, the besoms, brooms, whatever you want to call it, crystals, herbs, all that stuff. Those are great. But you have your body, your physical vessel, and like you can work magic through that. You don't need any of the other stuff, but it always does look nice.
Yeah, that's it.
We like the shiny things. We like your jingle scarf, right? We like the accoutrements, but if you start with the self and you start with the body. So what this does is looks at five kind of metaphysical systems of the body. which is the heart, the lungs, the serpent, the bones, and the mind. And I give you ways to tap into each of those and then putting it all together so that you can take the next step in your practice and to find that magic embodied in yourself. And then do it in your own way instead of being like, you know, you must do it this way or else. You know.
Yeah, that's it. Make it your own.
Yeah,
I'm signing up for the pre-order like as soon as
I know we do it with a realism
because as someone who works in the fitness industry and is a witch and does other things too, like to me this is like anything that you can literally have me tick multiple boxes at once, I'm there. Yeah, I'm there.
I'm here for you.
Yeah. Because it's like it's so funny because at my gym we actually just got one because I teach at multiple gyms but the same chain. And at one of them, we just got a new GM. And when I walked in, because like my name's Darren, but my middle name is Milan. So like at the gym, I use Milan because it's a bit of a stage name. It sounds a bit more extra than Zumba with Darren. Like it just sounds cool. So like when I walked in, like everyone at the gym knows me and my classes are massive at this particular gym. And the new GM had heard my name said so many times, but she'd never met me. And I walked in and all the people behind the desk like, hi, Milan. I'm like, oh, hey. She's like, you're Milan. You're this person that I've heard so much about. I'm like, oh, all good things, I hope. And she's like, no, they are, they are. She's like, so what is it about your class? What makes your class so special? I'm like, well, first of all, I do a lot of energy manipulation. So like I take all the energy that they give me, I manipulate it and I give it back. I kind of mesmerize them with active spell casting while I'm up on stage doing my thing. And I make sure that they always leave in a better state than when they got there. She's like, wait, what? I totally said it with no nonchalant. And she's like, wait, what? And then like I was trying to get, wasn't when the people were coming to put their name down for the class, I was asking him, oh, are you staying for the second class after? He's like, oh, no, I'm just going to stay for the first one. Like, okay, no worries. And then she was like, no, sell them into the second class. I'm like, oh, no, it's okay, because they think they could leave. But once we go in there, I'm going to be putting some magic awards up and the doors won't open. She's like, what? I'm like, I'm kidding you. I'm totally kidding you. Like, I'm being this extra guy that she was expecting me to be. But then she started asking me, she's like, wait, do you practice like Wicca or something? Because she's from London. She's like, do you practice Wicca? I'm like, not quite, but it's like, I guess you could call it that. Like, it's some kind of like an eclectic little thing that I do. She's like, so energy manipulation on the stage. And I'm like, it's really not what it sounds like. I'm not manipulating everybody. It's just... like, you know, you kind of cultivate the energy through movement. And then I'm like kind of adding my own little flavor and then kind of sending it out there very delicately. I learned because
you sometimes don't want to shoot people across the room.
I did that once. I accidentally threw the energy a little bit too hard at this person that I felt needed some. By the way, being an ethical witch, I always ask my guides to give me guidance as to if that person is receptive to what I'm sending them, like just putting it out there. So no witches come for me on YouTube or in the comments. You have to be ethical. But anyway, no, I shot the energy a little bit too hard and this woman tripped backwards and everyone's like, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm like, ugh. I knew straight away it was my fault. And then she's like, I don't even know what happened. I just kind of tripped. I know what happened, but I'm not going to say anything.
There was a current.
You just tripped on a pocket of air. Like it's just like, yeah.
It was there.
But no, it's like, I think so. That's like, yeah, I can't wait for the book to come out because it sounds right up my alley in so many ways.
I can't wait. And because there's an oracle and an oracle deck as well, isn't there?
Yes. So as I was working on the book, I was finishing the Liminal Spirits Oracle and that just recently came out. These concepts, because I really like to delve into things that I really haven't been done.
Yeah, and that's the best.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Like, no offense to other writers who have...
No, but it's...
Like, but I, if I see another Witchcraft 101 book, I'm going to shoot myself. Like, I'm not literally, figuratively. Because, like, there's only so many Witchcraft 101 books I can handle. And, like, and I get excited over a new author or over a new book, and I really want to buy it, but then I'm like... I feel like I've seen this again already. Like, so I love the fact that you're kind of stepping outside of the proverbial box and like trying different things and bringing new elements into it, because it makes it exciting for us more seasoned witches that have seen all the books already.
what the hell is this? Which is, it's kind of, it's scary, you know, especially in dance, where I've been a pioneer of dance. You know, it's like the person who's a pioneer is the first one out there with the axe.
Yeah, that's it.
And like, everybody's bitching at you because they're like, why are you clearing it out that way? And, you know, but then they all happily come right behind you.
Yes.
And then trample over you at the same time where you're like trying to take a break. And stuff, which is not pleasant.
When it
comes to witchcraft, you know, those people are very stuck and they don't like new things or new takes on things or inspiration, which is sad for them. Because it's spirituality, it's magical practice. It's, you need to be able to have your mind flexible for those things. And I don't think that it's like that I'm doing anything majorly radical, but it's just, I'm weird.
I love the weirdness.
See, your weirdness talks to my weirdness, so it's great.
And mine too. Like, we're all weird.
But I've been teaching Anatomy of a Witch. Is like, I started at a Temple Fest this year, and we had it virtually online. I did a little teaser, and I've done it a couple of times since then, and which is, it barely, it doesn't even go into the depth of the book, just the systems of it, just enough to get folks excited.
Yeah.
And every time I finish it, everyone, you're like, do you have questions? People are like,
no,
that was mind blowing. Like, I was just like, I'm prepared for people to be like, what the fuck?
That's it.
But isn't that, like, that gets you
thinking. Yeah. Like, even if it's not something that you can do or are going to incorporate, but it just gets you thinking and gets all that knowledge, gets everything moving a little bit more.
Such a Gemini thing. You're like, I have to tell you all the things.
I know. It's like, I need to tell you everything.
But see, and I'm the guy who, like I'm being a Cancerian, like my home is my little sanctuary. So that's why we have a room at the front of the house called the library, for obvious reasons, because it's a whole fucking wall of books on one side of it. And it's like, every time I got packages during lockdown, like, my husband got to a point where he's like, I'm not even going to check the door, because I know that the package isn't for me, it's for you. Although there is a funny story though. I was actually teaching my class last night, and I had this book with me because I always go to the gym early, and then I wait a little bit so that I'm there before class. I don't like driving in stressful traffic, but I was like going through the book last night, just like reading, you know, before class and whatnot. And then I put it in my bag, and it was actually on top of all my stuff, but my bag was slightly open and it was next to the stage, and people had to come up to the stage to write their name. And one of them kind of did that like double take. They're like, what? Like, and then like, I could see the look on her face where she's kind of like looking me up and down and like kept looking at my bag. And then I had to address the elephant in the room. I said, oh, did you notice the book? She's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm a witch. She's like, oh, cool. Okay. And then she just went back to it. Like, but it was just like that awkward moment of, I wonder if she's going to say anything. And I felt like just leaving the awkward silence to see who, like, if she breaks it first. But I'm like, I just thought, I'm like, oh, you saw my book. I'm like, yeah, just doing some research for someone I'm interviewing. She goes, interviewing? I'm like, yeah, for my podcast. She's like, you do a podcast? Yes, I do. On She's like, wow. Anyways, no, so Laura, it's been absolutely amazing having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to come and talk to us. I know I've learned to it's been
me
great
too. I've loved it. Thank you so much.
So we're going to be we'll pop all of your social medias on our post when we do it. I think we're hanging on,
and I can't wait till the book comes out.
Yeah. April, June.
It's officially June, but
June, sorry.
Everything goes well.
I was gonna say
a month or two early. I know that y'all get things a little bit later, but at least maybe the digital version will be available everywhere. I don't know how that works, so
that's right. I'll probably be ordering mine from Amazon US anyway. I'm used to it now. I'm just like, pre-order so that it gets shipped straight away, and then I hopefully get it before Christmas next year. No, I'm just joking. So please do keep us informed as well when you know of the official launch, because we'd love to like share it on all our socials and like get another plug again. But it's been amazing having you. Maybe we'll bring you back in the future when the book comes out.
Yeah, that would be
if you'd have us.
Yes, this was so much fun.
Awesome. So thanks guys again for tuning in, and don't forget, if you wanted to see the things we're talking about, just jump onto our YouTube and you can check out, we post all of our interviews on video format as well. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay. Bye.